Hallelujah. If you missed last week, I'm just going to do a little follow-up. You could go onto the website on Greatest Freedom Ministries, and the Bible studies are there. 1 second. I miss my wife, so it's hard for me to get it together without her. I'm going to leave this on the back seat. It's the worksheets for last week. You can go on the website and fill in the worksheets or Faith Advance, and they'll be in the back chair if anybody cares to get them. We're talking about faith advanced, advancing our faith. We talked about reality. The reality is the quality of being lifelike or resembling the original. Having existence and substance, we're being transformed in the image of Jesus Christ. We talked last week about the Word of God, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Jesus was recognized in Revelations. His name was the Word of God. He tells us to put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's important that we understand that Jesus is the Word. So when we, as the body of Christ, receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we receive the whole Word, okay? He is the Word. He was in the beginning in Genesis, and he's in Revelations, and he's all the way mixed in between. So we're recognizing that that he is the Word. We talked out of, last week about of Hebrews 4:12, for the Word is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder a soul and spirit and the bones and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we went in that. But tonight, we're going to go in a little different direction. Tonight, we're looking at the reality of our redemption. The Greek word for redemption comes from the Greek word apolytrosis, and it means to be ransomed or deliverance. Scripture reference we're going to use tonight is found in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And when we have revelation and understanding of what's been done and who we are, all of a sudden, we'll see things in a different light. And prayerfully and hopefully, we'll see things different tonight. Our scripture that we're going to build this off of is found in Colossians chapter 1. So everyone open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. When you get there, just say amen. In Colossians 1, verse number 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So in other words, before Christ, you and I were subject to the king of darkness or the kingdom of this world. And when we accepted Jesus, we were translated into another kingdom. We are no longer under the kingdom of darkness, but we're under the kingdom of light. So as children of the light, we have to recognize what we're entitled to and what God says about what he purchased for us. Amen? So first and foremost, recognize that there was a transfer of kingdoms, there was a transfer of authorities, and we're in a different realm, and we have an inheritance. I don't know about you, but I want everything that belongs to me. Amen? So I search the scriptures to see what it's I'm entitled to, and then I stake claim to it. Amen? In other words, I take it because it belongs to us. And if we look at this tonight, God wants to minister to our hearts and lives, because if truly, if we have a revelation of what God's word says, the adversary won't have the effect that he's been having on us in the past. Amen? Amen. Because God wants you and I to live in victory because it was purchased through us for us in Christ Jesus. Now, he's translated us. He's taken us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So look with me in John chapter 12. Verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. He says, believe in the light. Jesus is the light. We're believing in him. And if you turn to John 12, 46, the word of God says, and John 12, 46, he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. In other words, God has delivered us out of the power of darkness, and he's translated us into the kingdom of light. Amen. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We're no longer children of darkness. We're children of light. Amen. You know, so if we look at there first, so he's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of light. If we look at this, he has taken us from bondage to deliverance. You know, he's delivered us from the power of darkness. Understand with me that this speaks of now. It's not a future. It's present. Amen? That we're children of light. If you look with me in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Again, remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We're not just speaking this word. This word needs to get inside of you because the word doesn't have an effect on the outside. The word only has an effect if you let it sink in. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. We've been delivered from the corruption of this world, and we're delivered into the kingdom of his glorious liberty. That's where he says, as who the Son has made free is free indeed. Amen. We have liberty. We have freedom in Christ Jesus. We were in bondage, but we're no longer under the bondage of sin. He's delivered us out of the power of sin and translated us into the kingdom of his Son. Amen. So as we're walking now, as we're walking in the light, as he is in the light, what he says is, he says to you and I, he says, walk in the light as I am in the light and have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Amen. He's keeping us and he's transforming us, and we're being translated even now. We're becoming the image of Christ. We're not God, but God's in us. Amen. So if you look at that, he's translated us and moved us from the power of Satan to God. Amen? From Satan to God in Acts chapter 26. Verse This is Paul's encounter on the road to Damascus, and he's sharing it. The Word of God says in verse 18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And this is Jesus speaking. Amen. And what he's done is we've been delivered from the power of Satan and we're under the power of God. Satan has no more power over you. He has no authority over you as a child of God. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And if you have revelation and understanding of who you are, he won't beat you up so much. Amen. Because when he tries to tell me who he is, I remind him who I am through Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And you know, every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. I walk in that authority and that of power. When I'm running or when I'm moving in the atmosphere, I'm taking dominion over darkness. Amen. I'm not allowing darkness to beat on me. Okay? And God wants you to understand who you are in him. He is no respecter of persons. He did this for you and I. And if we have revelation and understanding of what our redemption purchased us, what he ransomed us with, and what he's delivered us from, the devil no longer will have that room. Here's the thing. This is your battlefield right here in your mind. You know, I was sharing with somebody today, God's given me an anointing. He's called me and give me the gift of healing and signs and wonders and miracles. And if I stand with here and you need a miracle in your life, unless you believe that miracle is going to come, you ain't going to get it. God isn't even going to first force a miracle on you. And oh, in other words, somebody wants to be healed. Jesus didn't heal anybody, but it came up and believed that he could heal them. Hello? Even the man who had the son that was throwing himself in the fire, he said, Lord, help my unbelief. Amen? And the Bible says, self-same hour that the child was healed. And why I'm saying this is we have to recognize who we are in Christ. God has given gifts to everyone in the room. We don't all have the same gifts, but we're all gifted. Amen? And the enemy is trying to discourage you. He's trying to beat you up. He's trying to steal everything that God did and gave you and paid for you and purchased for you. You know, we know the adversary comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came to give life and the abundance thereof. You know, in Isaiah chapter 42, just go back there a moment with me, the prophet Isaiah spoke about what the apostle Paul heard from Jesus. It was prophesied from Isaiah, back in Isaiah 42, verse 5, the Word of God says, Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, and he that spread forth the earth, that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And this was just an affirmation that the Apostle Paul got on the road to Damascus when Jesus spoke to him. Jesus was reaffirming what he told the prophet Isaiah back in Isaiah 42. Amen? Amen. That shows me Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. In other words, Jesus just isn't saying this for us to have a good feeling. Amen. Jesus is saying this that we could walk in liberty and freedom. You know, if you were a prisoner and somebody, and let's say that you were a hostage, and somebody paid a ransom for you, there is something that comes with the ransom that you get delivered or you get freed. Amen? And Jesus paid the ransom for you and I, and he purchased these things for you and I. And it's about you and I coming into revelation and understanding of everything that we're entitled to and that belongs to us. Look at me in Revelations. You know, Christ will reign on the earth. He reigns in heaven. He is reigning now. Not everything's been complete yet, but we're close. We're at the door. Amen? Amen? I mean, he says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man." Amen? But if you look with me in Revelations chapter 11, verse number 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Amen. Amen. In other words, we're taking back some things now, but we know, I've read the end of the book, we're going to reign for him and ever, and the adversary is going to be totally destroyed. Amen? Amen? How many can't wait till the devil gets off your back? Oh, amen? You know, I think one of the things that the Father was saying to me is we have an idea or revelation or the reality of our redemption that we recognize. Then only that, he takes us from the curse to the blessing. Do you see yourself as blessed? If you do not see yourself as blessed, you'll never walk in blessing. In other words, to have revelation and understanding of what's been purchased for you, look at me in Galatians chapter 3. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says in verse 13. He says, "Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." You and I have been grafted into the family of God. We walk in the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I say the blessings of Isaac and Jacob. Amen. Amen. That we're blessed. But you've got to get it inside of yourself that you're blessed. Amen. Or if you don't have it inside or revelation that you're a blessed child of God, when the adversary comes in, you'll give him the space in the room and he'll steal your blessing. Hello? You know, remember, he's come to steal, kill, and to destroy. He wants to steal what Christ has redeemed and purchased for you and I. He says, you're blessed. What did Abraham do? God said, "We're as far as you can see, just claim it and take it." Amen? In other words, it's recognizing who you are. And if you recognize who you are, you're blessed. You have an inheritance. You're walking in the blessings of God and the favor of God. That means that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up you shall condemn because of who you are in Christ Jesus. Not just because I can throw the word around. It's about having revelation of understanding who I am. Hey, let me say something to you. It works. It works. It works. In other words, when you recognize who you are and who you serve, no matter what the enemy brings your way, God is greater and God is bigger. and the greater and bigger God is inside of you. I don't have to go look for him. He's right here. He gave me his spirit according to the promise from what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And one of the things that the Lord wants to get in our hearts tonight, this not only takes us from curse to blessing, but it takes us from the guilt to innocence. There is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus that walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. So as the adversary tries to come in and tell you that you're not worthy, it never was about you anyway. It was about the one that's in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We overcome him by, we're not there yet, but. So look with me in Hebrews chapter 9. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 9:14, the word of God says, the writer of Hebrews says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen? To purge your conscience. For old things to pass away, so behold, all things can become new, you've got to let the old things go. You know, the adversary will come up and try to remind you of your past and things you've done in your past. But when you ask Jesus into your heart and your life, and you ask him to forgive you your sins, he removed them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. So in other words, if God isn't remembering them any longer, why would I want to remember them? Amen? In other words, there's a lie that the adversary tries to speak into the children of God is that they're not worthy of the blessing. That's a lie. That's a lie. Because it never was about us. It was about him. It's about what he did for you and I on the cross of Calvary. He defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he arose triumphantly as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is residing in you and I. Hallelujah. In other words, I got to recognize and have revelation and understanding of who I am. And if I have revelation and understanding who I am in Christ Jesus, I'm not going to get beat up so much any longer. Hello? Are you with me? He says to you and I, in Revelation 12, verse number 11, the word of God says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And by the word of their testimony, what are you confessing? Whatever you confess is what you will possess. In other words, let's feed the resolve and not the problem. Amen. Let's see it through the eyes of God. And if the Spirit of God is in me and he's leading me and guiding me, when I see a situation and I see a circumstance, I have to see it through the eyes of Christ. What would Jesus do? He just kicked the devil in the butt. Tell him to get behind him. Hallelujah. Amen. Nowhere do you see Jesus bowing to Satan. Nowhere do you see Jesus giving in to the temptations of Satan. What did he tell him to do? Get behind me. Get behind me. You have no space in front of me. He spoke the word. Man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if Jesus is saying that man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, how can you and I live without the word of God? If Jesus himself couldn't do it, what makes you think you can? Hello? What? And what the Lord was speaking to my heart about, are you with me? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? If you don't believe it, it can't have an effect with you. Oh, Pastor, I tried this before and it didn't work. Well, when I began to walk, I tried to walk and I fell down when I was a young kid. But what did I do? I got back up and tried again. Hallelujah. At first, you don't succeed. Try again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, maybe I wasn't trying to operate in my flesh and not in the spirit. Maybe I wasn't walking in the fullness of God. Maybe I didn't know as much as I know now. Amen. And we're still learning, ever learning, but fully, never fully coming to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. And in other words, even the day I was when I was running, the Lord started was speaking to me this morning, and there was this old house, this big old house, and he asked me a question. He says, "What would you do with that house?" And I said, "Well, if I got that house, I'd restore it." "Well, what would you do if you were living in it?" He said, "What would you do if you were living in that house?" I said, "Well, I think what I would do is I would close up a room and I would work in one room at a time. I'd tear everything out and put all new in, and then I'd move to another room." And that's the same thing that God's doing with you and I. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our body is like a house. And God's doing some renovation. God's moving some things. But one of the things before you put, if you take and put something new over top of the new will rot with the old. You got to tear out the rotten things. So what he does in our lives is he comes in and he tears out the old walls. He's taking some things, and sometimes when he's showing me some things that I need to change, it's not always something I want to give up. Hello? My flesh doesn't want to release it, and he doesn't make me, but he shows me the benefit. Amen? And what I do is if I bring it under submission to his will, all of a sudden he'll change my mind. And I get in this room, and this room is perfect, and I'm feeling all great. Oh, man, I've arrived. Hallelujah. And then he takes me into another room. And he starts transforming it. Amen? And understand that all of us are a work in progress, that God's doing something in everyone's life in the room. Nobody's arrived. But what we want to do is we want to take what we've learned to help you so you don't have to go through all the same trials and tests that we had to go through to get what we have. Dusty, you played ball this week. You took a PowerPoint. You cheated. What do you call that? Greatest freedom. I know what that is. But you took one with all the blanks filled. Here's one of the biggest deceptions, I believe, and I'm going to talk about this just for a couple of minutes in the body of Christ. One of the biggest deceptions is, you know, we got the Spirit of God and our spirit beings will, but our body is going to be taken care of later. We're going to have a glorious body. God's going to take care of all that later. But God wants us to understand something. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 a moment. Verse number 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. The Apostle Paul asked a question. He said, what? Question mark. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which belong to God. Now, let me ask you something. Does sickness glorify God? Does disease glorify God? Does sin glorify God? And what Paul, what the God wants us to understand, he says, hey, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, glorify God and your body and your spirit, man, which belong to God. He is within us, and we can do all things through him. Amen. We're going to have one day when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise and those that are alive be called to meet the Lord in the air. We'll have a glorified body. We'll have a new body that's not susceptible to sin in any way. Amen. Sin will be totally destroyed. Death will be totally defeated. We have the covenant of Abraham. That's 120. I'm just in midlife, and I'm not in the midlife crisis. Hallelujah. I'm only 63, so I'm just a little over halfway there. Amen. Because I'm in the covenant of Abraham. The covenant of Abraham is 120 years. Hello? So he is saying to you and I that if we have revelation and understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus, we can take authority over these things. In other words, when the enemy tries to bring sickness to our body, we take authority over it. Amen? Because we recognize who we are. I don't know about you. If I'm being transformed in the image of Christ Jesus, do you read anywhere in the Bible where Jesus was sick? Hello? We live in a sinful world, and there's kinds of sickness and disease. God is not glorified in sickness. Hello? He is not glorified in sickness. And what has to happen for the body of Christ to operate and move in the fullness of what God has purchased for them through Christ Jesus is to have revelation and understanding of who we are in him. And if we have revelation and understanding, when the enemy comes in, we take authority over him because he has no place or no dominion over us. He has no place in us. Amen? We live in a world that is full of sickness and disease. And you hear this and you say, well, Pastor, well, that can't be true. Well, it is true because God said it is. I want to say this, and I'm not too long. Back in 2010, I guess it was 2010, many of you were here, and y'all know what happened when the Lord healed my body. He healed me completely. Everything in my body was healed in 2010. But I believed God that he did it. In other words, he just didn't do it. I believed him. In other words, and then when the symptoms come in, I take authority over symptoms. I just got another call a little while ago from the nurse. She said, oh, by the way, your hepatitis C is negative too. Well, who didn't know that? Here, yeah, I shared with them last week. Listen to me. I had symptoms in my mind of a disease. But the Lord said that disease wasn't there. In other words, and then when they checked me, it wasn't there. Even though in my mind, I thought it was. I said something the other day. You know, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For your mind to be renewed, it needs to change. And your body will follow whatever your mind decides. When I make my mind up to walk here, I'm going here. If I make my mind up to jump up and down, I'm going to jump up and down. In other words, whatever my mind does, my body reacts to whatever my mind says. That's why the adversary wants to give a false report and a lie and say you have something that you really don't even have. Amen? I'm not part of the name it, claim it. I'm saying if you have faith to believe, you could say this mountain, be thou removed, and be removed and cast into the sea. Why? Because Jesus said so. Amen? And in other words, hey, and let me ask you simply, let me say this simply. If we don't believe he's our healer, how in the world can you believe he's your Savior? Hello? I mean, you can believe for one day, but you can't believe for today. Hallelujah. We can, hey, faith is the substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we don't see our salvation, but we believe God. We're all here tonight. And what God is saying, we got to believe the same thing when it comes to our healing. Amen. Our victory over the lion devil. We can glorify God in our bodies and our spirits, which are God's. So look with me in Romans chapter 6. Verse number 13. He said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but you're under grace. Amen. What is sickness? Is sin. Amen. And sin does not have dominion over you and I, because we're the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And what the Lord is saying to us, when we have reality of faith in the Word of God, and we have the reality and revelation of who we are and our, what our redemption brought you and I, all of a sudden we're going to look through the different eyes. We're going to look at it a different way. How many want to look at something a little differently? How many can stand some victory in their lives? Come on. Come on. Amen. We all can. So let's just all stand. Hallelujah. He sent the word. Silas is getting already chubby. Hallelujah. Dusty, can you stand with us? Hallelujah. You didn't cheat, really. You took the smart sheet. Can we just raise our hands to heaven? Father, we're so grateful, Father God. Lord, we're so grateful for what you did for us at the cross of Calvary. Lord, when you said it was finished, it was complete, it was done. Father, you declared in your word to give us revelation, to give us understanding, Father God. And Lord, as we look at this, at redemption, Father God, may we take what we heard tonight, Father God, may we apply it to our hearts and our lives, Father God, and may we just take another step. May we step on the devil's head, Father God. Lord, may we just not step, may we stomp on his head. Father God, and Lord Jesus, I speak to each and every one that is in this room, Father God. I speak to each and every last person, Father God. I pray that you strengthen each one in your power and in your might, Father God. I pray that the Word of God becomes alive, becomes active, Father God, and it becomes working in and through them in such a supernatural way they'll have a hunger and thirst for righteousness like never before. So I thank you for your children, Father God. I speak blessings upon them, Father God. And just as you said in your word, I speak the favor of God over them in Jesus' name. I speak to every body, mind, soul, and spirit to come align with your word, Father God. And as we align with your word, it will become healthy, whole, strengthened, empowered, Father God. So, Father, I thank you for all that you've done, all you're going to do, and what you're even doing now, and will never cease to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.